WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? Happy Thursday. That's right, it is February 19th, and you are locked in to Current Sports with me, Al Martin. Man, oh man, we've got a great show in store for you today as we will talk about some interesting comments concerning Detroit Tigers pitcher Justin Verlander and now his former teammate Max Scherzer. Also, there is a lot of moving and shaking going on in the NBA right now as the trade deadline quickly approaches, including some growing speculation concerning the Detroit Pistons and a certain swingman out in Brooklyn. Also, you get a sneak peek preview of today's Current Sports TV sit-down with Rico Beard of Detroit Sports 105.1. And also, Throwback Thursday is coming your way, folks. All of that also while taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. But let's start the show like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this February 19th. All right, let's first start with some local news. Hope girls basketball coach Doug Harkema became the latest area coach to pick up his 300th career victory. Now, the milestone came Friday when Hope defeated East Lansing. He joins DeWitt's Bill McCullen and Portland St. Patrick's Al Sharbrin as the active girls coaches that have reached that very milestone. Congratulations, coach. All right, yesterday in the Wrestling Division II Regional Finals, number 4 Eden Rapids defeated number 1 St. John's. How about that? Now, Eden Rapids gained their victory over St. John's with a 34-27 final score. They have not been in the regional finals since 2009. Their key wrestlers were Austin Eldridge and Hunter George. Congratulations to the Eden Rapids Greyhounds. That's one big accomplishment. All right, the Red Wings, they pulled off a rare shootout win over the Chicago Blackhawks, 3-2 last night. Now, it was the only the third shootout victory of the season for the Wings, and the first with Jimmy Howard in net. Now, Wings coach Mike Babcock, he praised the play of Howard, Pavel Datsyuk, and Henrik Zetterberg, but said other players need to elevate their play. All right, Justin Verlander is not surprised or upset that Max Scherzer left to go to the Washington Nationals. Now, on Wednesday, Verlander told the reporters, quote, "I think everyone saw this coming a year ago, and if you didn't, you're blind." Scherzer, of course, signed a ridiculous contract, $210 million for 7 years in late January with the Washington Nationals. He pitched 5 years with the Tigers and had a record of 82-35 with a 3.52 ERA. Now, he won the 2013 American League Cy Young Award and came in fifth place in 2014. What a game was it last night, folks? I got a chance to catch a little bit of it. One of college basketball's most intense rivalries did not disappoint. Number 4 Duke rallied to beat number 15 North Carolina 92-90 in OT on Wednesday night. The Tar Heels held a 10-point lead with 4 minutes remaining in regulation, but Duke rallied back. Now, it was their sixth straight win and their ninth in 12 meetings in the series against NC. All right, the Minnesota Timberwolves have inquired about the availability of Brooklyn Nets forward Kevin Garnett. Now, the rumored trade would send Garnett to the Minnesota Timberwolves in exchange for Thaddeus Young. Now, Garnett played the first 12 years of his career with the Wolves before being traded to the Boston Celtics, where he did win an NBA championship. Now, while Garnett is averaging just 6 points and 6 rebounds per game, the trade would allow the future Hall of Famer to finish his career with the franchise that he was drafted by. Now, Garnett has had no trade clause, but ESPN's Mark Stein reports that the Wolves are cautiously optimistic that Garnett is leaning towards waiving his no-trade clause. All right, on May 23rd in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand Garden Arena, John Jones and Anthony Johnson will take the octagon in the UFC Lightweight Heavyweight Championship for UFC 187. Now, Johnson has a record of 19-4. Jones's record is 21-1 and is going for his ninth title win. Now, Jones was tested, of course, positive on December 4th of last year for cocaine use, but is still able to participate in fights because cocaine is not considered a banned drug in the UFC. Now, UFC middleweight fighters Chris Wildman and Victor Belfort have been added to the undercard. These two have been scheduled to fight three different times, and the undefeated Weidman is ready to put his fight in the books. And last but certainly not least, sad news coming out of the National Basketball Association. Former Portland Trailblazers great Jerome Kersey passed away yesterday. He was 52 years old. He was a 17-year NBA veteran and a decade-plus career as a Blazer. He retired from the NBA in 2001. Sad news there. What a great man and what a great person he was off the court as well. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on any of those, please call at 517-355-9527. Again, that number is 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there and I'll read it live on the air, or even tweet me, or at least follow me at Al Martin, WKAR. Well, without further ado, let's start the show. All right. Well, man, oh, man, we've got a hot show in store for you. And, folks, I want to, of course, you know, today the NBA trade deadline is quickly approaching. I believe the deadline hits at a little less than now, 3 hours from now. Well, 2 hours from now, I should say, at 3 p.m. Now, some interesting moves are being made. Some moving and shaking is being made. And I'm pretty sure many of you out there who are Detroit Pistons fans like me are keeping your ear close to all of the NBA trade news, because the Detroit Pistons, of course, as I just stated, are in talks of possibly acquiring Joe Johnson from the Brooklyn Nets. Now, Stan Van Gundy, head coach of the Detroit Pistons, did make a statement saying that he does not expect the Detroit Pistons to make a big move here, but hey, you never know what will happen as these hours dwindle down here. Just some quick news here. The Blazers, the Trailblazers, they just acquired former Detroit Piston guard Aaron Aflalo from the Denver Nuggets for three players and a first-round draft pick. Also, the Nuggets have agreed, to trade JaVale McGee to the 76ers. Interesting move there. Also, the Sacramento Kings, have agreed to trade, Ramon Sessions for Andre Miller. And there is supposedly a deal in the works, including the Brooklyn Nets and the Oklahoma City Thunder, that would send Brook Lopez to OKC in exchange for Reggie Jackson. Interesting moves, folks. So again, the NBA trade machine is in live and full effect right now. We'll try to keep you posted on all of the moves that are made, at least throughout this hour, all the way up until 2 p.m. So, all right, folks. Well, again, a hot show today. And again, our phone lines will be open all the way up until 2 p.m. If you want to call in, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And it is Thursday. Man, this week has completely just flown by. Time flies when you're having fun, folks, and we have been having a great time day in and day out here on Current Sports. And also, folks, got to remind you all that, yes, Thursday night isn't just the night for your favorite TV shows like Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder. No, Current Sports TV also airs, okay? So at 10 p.m., if that's past your bedtime, at least make sure you got your DVR set, because it's going to be a hot show, as I got the opportunity to sit down and chat with a man who always has strong opinions and who always seems to spark up some controversy. It's my good friend in this business, Rico Beard of Detroit Sports 105.1. Of course, Rico is also a contributor to Spartan Magazine. He's also a professor down in Troy, Michigan. I mean, he does a lot. I don't know how Rico has time to just unwind, but I tell you what, he's fantastic at what he does. I got a chance to pick Rico's brain about the MSU men's basketball team, about how he began his career in this industry, eventually, of course, becoming a talk sports personality out in the D, and so much more. You don't want to miss it, folks. You also get to see our coverage from the Michigan Sports Hall of Fame last week as Alex and I drove out there and talked to Tom Izzo, Alita Sill, Doug English, amongst so much more. So you'll get to see coverage of that and, of course, the MSU women's basketball team. So check it out tonight at 10 p.m. Current Sports TV, along with guest Rico Beard. Now, you guys are in luck because you guys know each and every Thursday, before that episode airs tonight, we give those out there who tune into Current Sports on Thursdays at 1 o'clock a sneak peek into that very interview. So, during our second segment of today's show, you'll get to see, hear. Don't want to get my mediums mixed up here. You get to hear my chat with Rico in just a sec. So, you do not want to miss that. And also, later on in the show, we will have Throwback Thursday for you. A lot happened on this Thursday in sports. So we'll hop into our Current Sports time machine and bring that to you as well. Again, the number to call is 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. We will be taking your calls throughout this hour. But first, I want to start the show by talking a little Detroit Tigers action, folks. Of course, can you believe that the day has finally come? The day is finally here where pitchers and catchers report. Man, I mean, that flew by. That completely just flew by, folks. And I know my former boss out at WLNS TV6, Fred Heumann, who is known for his baseball junkieism, he's probably rejoicing and throwing a party tonight. But, you know, the Detroit Tigers pitchers and catchers report to spring training today. And, you know, for the first time in 5 years, right-hander Max Scherzer is not one of them, folks. Of course, Scherzer instead will report with the Washington Nationals on the eastern side of Florida. Man, my whole mind just kind of went into a different venture there because we are dealing with this crazy cold weather here in Michigan. Hopefully you all are staying warm. But of course, you know, if you know for spring training to ensue in the MLB, you got to go someplace where it's warm. So again, yeah, Washington, you know, Max Scherzer, he's with the Nets now. So they will train on the eastern side of Florida after signing a $210 million contract in late January. And, you know, again, JV had some comments on the absence of Max for this year. He says, quote, "I think everybody saw this coming a year ago. And if you didn't, you're blind." Now, of course, the Tigers did. They bowed out of the running for Scherzer's services before his decision. GM Dave Dombrowski, you know, he made that comment after the pitcher's departure, saying, "Yeah, we kind of saw it coming." We talked to actually Dave when he was here in Lansing as the keynote speaker for the Lansing Economic Club luncheon. And you know what? The team said all along that it gave a good effort, including offering him, you guys know this, because I actually thought Max was kind of crazy, that something had to be loose up in his noggin for turning down this deal. But remember, Max Scherzer turned down a 6-year, $144 million contract leading up to last year. And, you know, anytime you turn down that money, it's pretty obvious that you definitely want to test the waters of, you know, the possibilities of other dollar amounts that you could get. But at the same time, the spotlight automatically is on you now. You turn down that amount of money and teams out there are saying, whoa, okay, well, you must want to prove your worth this year. And Max certainly did that. He had a pretty solid year. Pretty solid year for Max, you know, and again, you know, he was a smart guy. He made all of the naysayers out there, the guys that criticized him, including myself, you know, he made us look like kind of idiots, you know. Again, turning down $144 million and getting $210 million in return. I mean, that's unbelievable. So, and, you know, Verlander went on to say, quote, "I felt like they tried pretty hard. I thought that was a pretty doggone good effort." And you think so? $144 million. I mean, come on now. Now, you know, Scherzer's contract is the second biggest for a starting pitcher in history and includes a record amount of deferred money. He will receive a $15 million per year for the next 14 years. What a lucky guy. And again, at the end of the day, it was all about the Benjamins, man, for this move. I think Verlander now goes into the situation with the Washington Nationals, which are a pretty solid team, folks. That now he can beef up that pitching core that is in Washington. And, you know, Washington's not a bad place to live either. So, you know, at the end of the day, we kind of saw this coming. And JV talks about that. Now, and you can't fault you know, the move here for Max Scherzer. Definitely wish him the best. I think he's one of the best pitchers in the game. And again, he didn't have a crazy, unbelievable record-setting year last year with the Tigers, but he did prove that he is pretty consistent and is still among some of the best pitchers in the game. Now, you know, it's really interesting here because it's a bit odd now because to read another article here that we brought up yesterday during yesterday's show that we didn't get to really discuss yesterday was that, I don't know if you guys know this, but the Detroit Tigers were actually voted one of the AL's most unimproved teams. Interesting article here written by Steve Schrouder of the Detroit Free Press. He says that, quote, ESPN.com's team of baseball experts is trying to figure out exactly what's going on with the Detroit Tigers this year. And while it's kind of negative, could be worse. First, there's Jason Stark, who conducted his annual unscientific survey of 35 baseball execs on the questions of the day. Then, of course, the article goes on to say, for one thing, seven of them voted the Tigers as one of the most the American League's most unimproved teams in the offseason. Now, Jason Stark went on to write, quote, the Tigers are on this list, even though nobody would be shocked if they won the World Series. Yeah, without Max Scherzer. Given that 10 of the 15 teams in the league got at least one vote, we get the impression nobody has had any division in the AL figured out just yet. Interesting comments. I really don't know. It baffles me sometimes. I feel as though sometimes writers out there and analysts try to say things to sort of spark up discussion and spark up controversy and, of course, spark up attention. And I think this was one of those moments. You know, I don't believe that the Tigers are not going to improve upon last year's team this year, because I still think there's a lot of intangibles for this team and a lot of pieces that can allude to a lot of success for this team this season. Now, you know, not having Max Scherzer will certainly be a blow. Will certainly be a hit in the stomach for the Tigers because he was such a great pitcher. He was one of the most consistent starting pitchers for this team. And yeah, he outplayed Justin Verlander. And Justin Verlander, it's so remarkable looking at last year for him because it was an odd year for JV. JV was not the JV that we were accustomed to seeing. You know, just him, you know, setting the amount of records that he set in previous years prior to last season. But the big question, there are a few big questions leading up to this Detroit Tigers season. One, of course, harping on JV here, can Justin Verlander bounce back? Now, reports, you know, that I've been reading about the upcoming Tiger season and those that have seen JV work out a little bit, reports say that JV is way ahead of where he was at during this point last season. Of course, last year he went 15-12, posted a 4.54 ERA for the year. They say that he's healthy, and also he's bulked up a little bit, folks. He's actually put on 20 pounds of muscle. So that's one of the big questions for me, if JV can bounce back. The second big question here is, of course, the health of the Detroit Tigers. Health is what plagued this team last year, and specifically, two of the big hitters here, folks, and I'm talking about Miguel Cabrera and Victor Martinez. Can those two stay healthy throughout this year? And at what point is their health right now? Because, of course, Victor Martinez, he's coming off an injury where he has to have surgery, I believe, on his meniscus. They said that he will be ready for opening day, though. And Miguel Cabrera, we all know about the injury woes that he had last season. So, I mean, Miguel Cabrera and Victor Martinez, those are big bets that need to perform and perform at a pretty high level throughout the year for the Tigers to be successful. How healthy are they? Well, I guess only time will tell. Also, you know, the third big question for me. So first, can JV bounce back? Second, the health of the team, more so when it comes to Miguel Cabrera and Victor Martinez. And third, of course, the bullpen. It's something we've harped on now. I sound like a broken record on the brink of every Detroit Tigers season. Can the bullpen produce? Is the bullpen better than last year's? Can they form any sort of consistency? It is a broken record and is a huge, huge part as to why the Detroit Tigers have not won a World Series yet. I mean, yeah, sure, they've won, what, four straight American League Central Division championships? That's fine and dandy. But again, when it comes to, you know, when you hit the playoffs and you start to play teams that are formidable every single night, your bullpen has to be able to close out games. And the Detroit Tigers just simply haven't had that luxury. They simply haven't. So, you know, you talk about guys like what? Al Albuquerque, Blaine Hardy, you know, Joakim Soria, the guys like that. You know, I could go on and on here. Detroit Tigers, the bullpen in relief, have to come in and get the job done. So those are the three biggest things for me. You know, are they among the AL's most unimproved teams? Well, I think, you know, from a national perspective, anytime you lose a big name like Max Scherzer, many people out there are going to think that, okay, this team is certainly going to take two steps back. Certainly. But when you really look at this team, when you really look at this roster, I really don't think that they will be that much unimproved. I don't even know if you could use that statement. I don't even know if unimproved is that even a word? Maybe I have to look that up in Webster's dictionary. I don't even think unimproved is a word, folks. But you know, at the end of the day, though, you know, and also another intangible that you got to be, you know, pretty uplifted about if you're a Detroit Tigers fan is that yes, Jose Iglesias is going to be fully healthy coming into this year as well. Jose Iglesias, he's an unbelievable player, great young kid, great young talent, and the Detroit Tigers certainly missed him last season because at one point, I believe like the middle of the season last year, going into the All-Star break, the Detroit Tigers had one of the worst defenses in the MLB. So having that young guy back, of course, you know, another big question is the outfield, especially center field. Who's going to play center field right now? I mean, that's a big question as well, but I do think the Tigers are going to be better than what most people expect. And again, you know, the window is closing here, folks. For me, I think the window is very, very slim right now. The Detroit Tigers' expectations these past 2 to 3 years have been to win a World Series. They have certainly had the roster to do that. But again, that bullpen has been so bad that you can't rely on. I mean, even if the Tigers come into the eighth and ninth inning, even the seventh inning with a pretty nice lead, I mean, you got to still bite your nails because you just never know what's going to happen. You know, when the pitcher comes out of the bullpen, can they close it out? And they just certainly haven't been able to do that. So I think the expectation is still World Series. Talking with Dave Dombrowski last month, that's where they want to be. They can't just get there. They got to win it. And again, as these years go by, these players aren't getting any younger. They got to close out the deal, folks. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. All right, let's shift gears now. I want to talk a little NBA right here because, of course, the trade deadline is quickly approaching. Every minute, every second of every hour now, of course, leading up to 3 p.m., I believe, that's when the window closes for the NBA trade deadline. Now, the Detroit Pistons, interesting report coming out here from the league. Detroit Pistons have reached out to the Brooklyn Nets to inquire about the availability of former All-Star swingman Joe Johnson. Now, sources actually told ESPNNewYork.com that no deal is imminent, but said the teams have had exploratory discussions in advance of Thursday's trade deadline about a trade package built around injured point guard Brandon Jennings and expiring contracts in exchange for Johnson. Interesting report now because, you know, there are many out there and, you know, reading a few blogs here and there and tweets, and I actually had a conversation with a few of my homies yesterday about this whole situation, whether or not they agree with the trade, possibilities of sending Brandon Jennings to Brooklyn in exchange for Joe Johnson. And a lot of people don't like it. And I don't know why. For me, you know, the only thing that, I think I do know why. I retract that statement. I think I do know why. Because if you look at Brandon Jennings' game before the Achilles heel injury, Brandon Jennings, folks, was playing out of his noggin. I mean, he was definitely a top five guard in the league before that injury happened. And, you know, he was playing at such a high level, and to have that happen right then and there, I mean, a lot of people, you know, and the Pistons were rolling, you know, racking, you know, especially when the trade with Josh Smith happened, the Detroit Pistons went on this incredible winning streak that turned the heads of a lot of NBA fans out there and a lot of NBA analysts and just the sporting world in general. And, you know, and then Brandon Jennings goes out and it's like, oh my gosh, I mean, who's going to step up now? And DJ Augustine, I think, has done a pretty solid job at stepping up into that role. But, you know, so, you know, when you have Brandon Jennings playing at such a high level, his name involved with the word trade doesn't sound right to a lot of ears out there. But for me, you know, you kind of have to peel back a layer here when looking at this. Now, again, Brandon Jennings prior to his injury, sure, he was playing at such a high level, folks. But when you have an Achilles heel injury and when you sit out an entire NBA season, just about, because, I mean, that injury happened just a few weeks before the midpoint in the NBA season. So, you know, ideally he's sitting out pretty much a big portion of the entire season for Detroit. So when you have that much time off as a player, to come back and have the expectation that you are going to just, you know, come back and be the Brandon Jennings that you were, it's not real realistic. It's a certain risk that you're taking because you just don't know what type of a player Brandon is going to be once he does come back. So, the Detroit Pistons are without Brandon Jennings. Again, there's question marks as to how good he's going to be when he comes back. You got Joe Johnson out in BK, who is a pretty solid player, even though, I mean, I get it. He is, what, 33 years old right now. But he's such a versatile scorer. If you remember earlier in the season, he scored a season-high 34 points against the D. Joe Johnson is a player who can come in and give Detroit a bit of a spark plug here. He's a great guard. He's also very good at finding teammates, getting others involved. So to have him as a guard that could possibly, you know, also play that role as, you know, not only a scorer but a facilitator, you know, more so for the guys down low like Andre Drummond and Greg Monroe. I mean, why not explore that option? Why not explore it? And, you know, maybe Stan Van may be onto something here, even though he does not expect the Pistons to make a big move here in the waning moments of the NBA trade deadline. But if the move was made, I would like it. I got to be honest with you guys. I wouldn't be against it. I would not be against it. Now, the big cloud looming over this discussion that I haven't gotten to yet is Joe Johnson's contract. Now, that for me, I think that if this contractual discussion wasn't in the mix here, I think that the Pistons may make this move. And BK may be willing to make this move. Now, if you look at his contract, Joe Johnson is making $23.2 million this season and is due $24.9 million next year, the final year of his contract. Now, of course, if this trade happens, guess what the Pistons have to do? They have to buy out Joe Johnson, essentially, and pay him that remaining $24.9 million. So, does the wallet fit the bid? That's the big question here. I just don't know if the Pistons are willing to do that. And that, I think, is the biggest bump in the road for why this deal hasn't been made yet. So, again, you gotta pay the man $24.9 million next year. Maybe you want to bite the bullet here, Detroit. Maybe you do. I don't know, but we'll see. You know, if some breaking news comes by and the deal is made, we'll certainly let you know throughout this hour. And I wouldn't be surprised if it does happen, though. I would not be surprised. And again, you got to be encouraged because, again, it shows that the Pistons are trying to win now. They're trying to make the playoffs here. They're not like a few NBA teams are doing this year and tanking, which I hate. I could go on a rant about that for days. But all right, folks, well, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. I believe we have a caller on line one. Is he still there, Alex? Ray called in. He wanted to weigh in on some of the action we've been talking about here on the show. Couldn't get to Ray, though. But, hey, our phone lines are still open, 517-355-9527. Call in. Let's hit our first break of the show. It's Thursday. We're going to give you a sneak peek preview into tonight's Current Sports TV interview with Rico Beard of Detroit Sports 105.1. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Hey, now, welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Well, tonight has to be one of your favorite nights in television, right? That's right. Current Sports TV airs at 10 p.m. on, of course, WKAR-TV. And I had the chance of sitting down with a man who is certainly not afraid to speak his mind. And from time to time, becomes very controversial due to some interesting views and takes. I mean, I guess you can say he's a Michigan Stephen A. Smith, or I should say, he kind of reminds me of Drew Sharp in a way, because he's not afraid to rock the boat from time to time. Of course, his name is Rico Beard. Rico was once a longtime photog over at Fox 2 News in Detroit. He started as a photog here in mid-Michigan for Fox 47 and, of course, got the job at Fox 2. And then now has transitioned into the world of sports broadcasting. You can listen to him each and every weekday, each and every weekday morning, I should say, on Detroit Sports 105.1, along with his co-host, Ryan, of also Fox 2. I believe Ryan is actually a sports reporter for Fox 2 right now. But they do a great job, Ryan, the Ryan and Rico show for Detroit Sports 105.1. Also, Rico Beard, he's not only co-hosting that show, but he's also a guest host for The Drive with Jack Ebling right here in this area. Also, he writes for SpartanMag.com, and on top of all of that, in just about 2 weeks, I believe, he will actually be reporting back to school to do his professor duties, in which he teaches at the Institute of Design and Technology in Troy, Michigan. So Rico is always doing things, folks. He's always got his hand in the cookie jar and always a busy man. So I finally got the opportunity to pick Rico's brain about multiple things on tonight's Current Sports TV sit-down, and many of you may not know that Rico and I actually share a pretty cool connection, which you'll hear about right now.
Thanks for finally getting me on here, Al.
I tell you, he's a superstar. It's hard to book this man, okay?
Please.
Hard to book him. Now, you know what, Rico? What a lot of people don't know, I'm very happy we finally got you on because we have an interesting connection that dates back to years at MSU.
We do.
I pledged Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. I crossed in fall of 2009. And you actually pledged me during that process because you crossed Alpha Phi Alpha back in 1989. I believe the line was titled By Any Means Necessary, am I right?
Right. We were rebellious.
Yes, very rebellious.
It was during the whole sit-in stage at MSU, so.
Wow.
We added that. That was the line name. And yeah, you came over to the house. And
yeah, man. One of the best times of my life.
And you had no clue, and you're just sitting there. Mm-hmm. I'm like,
yeah.
You really have no idea what I do.
Yeah, exactly.
And you just like, no. I was like, okay.
Right. And you know what, Rico, to add a sports twist to this thing, many of you out there know that one of my biggest inspirations to get into this industry happened to be, of course, the late now Stuart Scott. Stuart Scott passed away, longtime SportsCenter anchor, and Stuart Scott was also a member of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. So definitely want to shout out Stu for that one. And Rico, you actually got the privilege of meeting Stu, I believe, in 2004, right?
Yeah, 2004 NBA Finals, the Pistons and Lakers, and of course ESPN had their elaborate sets there, and Stuart Scott, we were in the back area with the media, you know, the tunnel area with the buses and stuff pull in, and
right.
I got a chance to sit and talk with him, and, you know, we talked to each other and, you know, share some fraternity stories because he pledged at North Carolina, and,
yeah.
You know, it was kind of cool. We gave each other the handshake and talked, and, you know, I got to share a cool moment with him. So when you see him pass, and it was like, wow, you know, I met him before. He was a cool guy.
I tell you what, appreciate life, folks, because, again, it is way too short sometimes. All right, Rico, let's transition now. I want to talk about your career and how in the world you transition now into sports talk. I mean, you're doing a great job at it, having a great career. Of course, you're now in Detroit. How in the world, for those out there who don't know about your past, how did you end up at 105.1?
You want the long story or short story?
Give me the short one.
How much time do you have?
No, we don't have much time. So give me the short version.
Short version was I was working at Fox 2.
Okay.
I was a cameraman at Fox 2. And, you know, people like Al are the pretty folks. So I'm behind the scenes. Nobody wants to see me. So they want to see guys like Al. But what would happen is all of the sports people would always ask me questions. Like, who is that? And so I would always have stats and numbers and things like that. And by doing so many things, I got to kind of know the coaches and the players. Plus, I was doing stuff for Spartan Mag, so I got to know a lot of players in high school. And then when they would go to college, you know, the relationship would continue. So it kept going. And then one day, there was I got a call to fill in at 11:30 a.m., WDFN in Detroit.
Right, exactly.
And they were like, hey, Matt Shepard asked me, hey, can you come in and sit in with me? It was an emergency thing. They liked me, and the PD asked me to come back and, you know, if you mind, would you like filling in? So I did that for like 2.5 years. And then they started a brand new station, Detroit Sports 105.1. It was kind of secretive. Nobody really wanted to talk about it. It was real Men in Black hush hush.
Before you guys launched. Right.
So, yeah. You know, I submitted the resume. I met with the program director and he was like, hey, you know what? I think I got a great idea. I'm going to put you and Ryan together and do a show. And we started laughing like, yeah, we used to do a show at WDFN, but good idea. Good idea. So the rest is history. So that's how I got it. Short version.
Now, something that I love about you, Rico, is that, you know, I've been listening to you for years now, and you always keep it 100. No matter what feathers, again, as you heard in my intro, no matter what feathers may get ruffled, no matter what people may not agree with you with, I mean, you keep it 100. And I tell you what, being in this industry, I tell you what, that's, in a way, it's what drives the interest. Because I tell you what, people love to debate.
Right.
And people love to chime in on that debate. With you, why is that filter sort of off the chain in some regards, if you will?
Well, it's like this. If you're just doing it to just do it to do shock value, people will see right through it. But if you, I was always told, have a strong opinion. And one person that a lot of people, you know, may make fun of me and be like, really? But Drew Sharp pulled me aside a long time ago and said, don't be afraid to be yourself. If you feel that way about it, then let people know. Have the facts to back it up. Mm-hmm. Don't just spout out to spout off. But and Drew kind of took me and molded me and shaped me, because now every day he'll call me and say, you're like the son I never had. I'm
oh
so proud
goodness.
Of you. I'm so proud of you.
A match made in heaven, huh?
Right. And it's so much that people are like, oh, my God, you sound just like Drew. But it's not that I want to sound like Drew, but you have a voice. And in this day and age, Al, everybody wants to be so PC and, you know,
politically correct.
And they want everybody to like them. And it's not about being liked. People want to know your opinion. When you go to the barbershop, when you go in, they want to know, Al, what do you think about this?
Right.
So at that point, I'm going to tell you whether I think, hey, people call me a Matthew Stafford hater. Mm-hmm. I said from day one, big mistake. I've never changed.
Yeah.
From day one, I said, this is the worst quarterback that they could get. Now with Ndamukong Suh, I'm like, if you re-sign him, you're going to put yourself in the poorhouse. You mm-hmm. can't afford him. Let him go. Let him walk away. Find somebody else. It's not a popular opinion.
Right, right.
Sometimes you got to go against the grain, because that's how I truly feel. And I'm not afraid to do that. And you're going to take heat. People are going to call you, Twitter, all of that stuff.
And that's
call
what
you
I want to. And that's what I want to talk about. I mean, when you receive that backlash, whether it be on social media, whether it be one of the callers calling in on the Ryan and Rico show, how do you deal with that? Because I know you sometimes have to take a step back and say, okay, should I respond to that? Because, I mean, some of the comments.
98% of the stuff I don't respond to. If you call me, you know, we got the producer, I'll look at the producer and go like this. You know what? Cut him off.
Cut him off, right.
You catch me in a bad mood. Like, one day, I let the audience know, I'm in a bad mood today, folks. So if you call in, don't get on my bad side. And one guy, I'm like, you know what? No, leave him up. Leave him up. Let's talk about this. Or they'll send text messages to the station, not knowing I can respond back because your number comes up.
Exactly.
So I'll click on your number. Oh, really? You think that about me? Oh, I didn't know you can see me.
Then they crawl up into a little ball.
Then
once you respond.
Then they crawl up into a little ball. I get it on Twitter. And it's like, you know, everybody gets the internet muscles. But, you know, when you respond back, and say, like, tell me why. Tell me why I'm an idiot.
Right.
Tell me why. People called me an idiot last year because I said Rutgers would beat Michigan. Mm-hmm. During the summer, before the season started.
I remember when you made that prediction, yeah.
And everybody, oh, you're a Spartan slappy. And I'm like, you know what? It's going to be a night game. They're going to be up for it. Michigan's not very good. And everything that I said happened.
Yeah.
And at that point, well, you know, nobody calls you back. Nobody says, oh, my fault. You don't get that. So you just learn most of them are idiots. Most of them live in their parents' basement or have no life. So
there you go.
I don't have time for all that.
That was eloquently said, Rico. Now, I want to shift gears now and talk about something that we've been talking about. We can't get away from it on Current Sports Radio. Again, folks, Current Sports Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 2 o'clock on WKAR AM 870. A topic that we cannot get away from is, of course, athletes not talking to the media. I don't know if you heard about Kevin Durant, but Kevin Durant has decided not to speak to the media because he feels as though they're, I guess, bashing his coach, Scott Brooks of the Thunder. And before that, the Super Bowl was at the beginning of this month.
Right.
Marshawn Lynch decided to go on a media hiatus where he did not speak even during media day. What do you think about this whole thing about athletes not talking to us?
Well, if you really think about it, why should they? Why should they? We really don't know what they go through. We're not there when they get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. We're not there when they're training. We're not there feeling the pain as they get shot up. But we criticize them. And we tell them, what, you should be better. You should do this. You should do that. And we could armchair quarterback. I see their point. A lot of media, you know, are self-righteous. We're better. You look at the Skip Baylesses of the world, you would actually think that they played in the game because they could tell you, Al, everything that you're doing wrong. But then in the athlete's eyes, but you never played the game. Right. So how can you tell me what to do? It's a give and take. Like, it's money. ESPN pays so much money, you're going to talk to us. You're going to go out there and you're going to talk to the people. But if you really think about it, I see their point. I don't get offended by that because a lot of times the media ask dumb questions. And Al, what do you really get out of an interview? They tell you both teams play hard. We're looking forward to the next game. You know, this was a great win.
But at the same time, isn't a journalist's job to get those cliche quotes, no matter how cliche they may be?
But what did you learn? Because if an athlete actually told you how he felt, we go crazy. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, did you hear what he just said? Let's play it back. Let's play it back in slow motion. Let's look at it. Let's listen to it again. Oh, hey, did you hear what he said? If somebody just comes out and tells you, you know what, I think we're going to win this game. Oh, he just guaranteed a victory. It's going to be the lead thing on the news. Right. He guaranteed victory. So we can't handle the truth sometimes. We get canned answers. What do you really learn about with those canned answers?
Gotcha.
Not much.
All right. What do you guys think? Again, that's our current sports question of the week. What do you think about athletes not speaking to the media? Go to Facebook.com/currentsports, and I will read your responses on Current Sports Radio. All right, Rico, before we get to the 12th man here, I want to talk about the MSU hoop squad, men's hoop squad. A lot of people are pegging this team to be on the bubble right now. They've had some alarming losses, to say the least, throughout the year, but they seem to be getting the wheels back on the track. Is this team on the bubble, and will they make the tourney?
No, Ohio State took them off the bubble. The one thing that this team has is the coach card, Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo is good for business. The NCAA tournament, CBS and TNT and all, they need Tom Izzo in this tournament. He's good for business. Mm-hmm. So if Michigan State is close, boom, play the Izzo card, you're in. It's the same with Duke. If Duke is struggling, Coach K still the coach? Yeah, they're in.
Gotcha.
So Roy Williams coach? Yeah, they're in.
So his name holds a lot of weight in that whole conversation.
Now, they came off the bubble by defeating Ohio State because you finally got a top 25 win. You did it in a way where it wasn't like you stole it. You just went out and you flat out beat them. So that took them off the bubble. They're in because I thought they were going to be in the play-in game, which to me, you're not in the tournament. If you're in the play-in game, if you're playing in Dayton, that doesn't really count, in my opinion.
Right.
I know VCU did it.
Yeah.
And I know what Tennessee did it last year.
Right, yeah.
But if you're in a play-in game, you're not even on the T-shirt yet.
Right.
You're not even on the T-shirt. They got to write you in with a Sharpie.
I like that line. That's a good line, Rick. Now, I tell you what, someone who has really been kind of turning my head throughout this particular stretch in the season has been Denzel Valentine. Of course, he had the game winner on Valentine's Day. How cliche was that, right?
Well.
Oh, unbelievable, right? But Denzel Valentine.
How bad did you write that? It's
I know,
Valentine's
right? I didn't.
Day.
I did
he
not.
Broke hearts.
Right. I did not go that route. I did not go that route, folks. But when it comes to Denzel, I mean, it seems as though he's sort of, you know, put the team on his back.
Denzel is like the ultimate enigma because because
you never know sometimes.
Denzel is good for three Denzel moments every game. When you just look at him, you look at the TV, and you just go, oh, Denzel.
Uh-huh.
Denzel. Why, Denzel?
Right.
Why? Once he starts cutting those down and realizes sometimes a simple bounce pass works, sometimes you don't need the no-look pass. You could just give it to you. Or sometimes just take the shot. And you saw that especially against Ohio State where he just took control.
Right.
Instead of trying to be Magic Johnson, he was just Denzel Valentine.
So how high is his ceiling? Has he hit his ceiling yet?
He's getting close to hitting his ceiling. Denzel's biggest problem is he just doesn't have that quickness. He's got the height. He can dribble. He can do everything.
Right.
He can get the rebound and everything. If Denzel can just get a little more quickness, then I think he would be NBA ready. Right now, he's teetering. He'll get looked at, but I don't know if he's necessarily an NBA player.
Quick prediction before we go to the 12th man. You said the Michigan State will make the tournament. When they do, according to you, how far will they get?
Al, if this team makes it past the first weekend, they should hang a banner. If they make it to the Sweet 16.
Yeah. They should be that fortunate, huh?
Hang a banner. And normally you don't, because chances are you're going to be in that 8-9 game, meaning you're going to look at Kentucky, Arizona, or Duke. If you beat one of those three, then the sky's the limit. But let's be real. You go up against Kentucky, it's over.
It's tough. It's tough.
Over. Go ahead and cancel that room because you'll be home soon.
All right, Rico Beard of Detroit Sports 105.1. Rico, you got five more minutes.
I got all the time. Hey, I've been waiting to get on this show.
There you go. Stick around, Rico, because the 12th man starts right now. All right, here we go. It is my favorite part of the show, called the 12th man, folks, where I stop barraging my guests with questions, and you get a chance too. We're going to go social media on your Rico. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, and even my Twitter page at AlMartinWKR. But I want to start with a really special one here, because we actually had a caller this week.
Dear Al, why did you have him on your show? Right. He sucks.
No, he's not horrible. At all. It was a great, it's a great question. Okay. It actually comes from Kurt from Grand Lanch, who calls in on the show all the time. Thanks a lot, Kurt. This is the question that he has for you, Rico. With all that you do, of course, with Spartan Mag, with Jack's show, with your own radio show, I mean, you do a lot, Rico. You're also a professor as well. Do you worry about wearing yourself thin? Your message heard in so many venues that your message loses relevancy. Interesting question. What do you think about that?
That's a good question. No, I don't, because I come up with something new for each thing. It requires some work. It's not, you just don't sit down and start talking. I'm up late at night, and I'm going over different things, and I'll... And my drives back and forth from Lansing, I use that time to have a discussion with myself. Just say it out loud to hear what it sounds like and be like, And, you know, just kind of have fake discussions, but just to, you know, come up with different points. I'm like, no, that doesn't work. Wait, but what if I say this?
So you have different angles that you attack
different
things for different shows.
And a lot of stuff that I say, I believe. So it's not like it's, you know, I got to, oh, what did I say in Lansing? Because I want to make sure it's the same. If you listen to any of my shows, if you read any of the things or do anything that I do, it's all the same. It's all consistent. It's,
right.
It's what I believe. That's me. I'm just going to give it to you how I see it.
And you're always on the road, always making a trip from Southfield to up here in the Lansing in so many different areas. I mean, Rico, do you wear yourself out?
No, I don't wear myself out. Yeah, you know what? Because my downtime is my downtime.
Right.
And when I shut it down, people like, oh, well, I know you watch it. I don't watch the games. You know what I watch? I'm like, I'm watching The Family Guy. I'm like watching.
I love that show.
I'm watching cartoons or something, or like The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I get away from sports.
Gotcha.
When I'm not around it, I'm not at a game, I'm not looking at sports, because it's my way of decompressing. Every night before I go to sleep, I'm watching either The Simpsons or The Family Guy to kind of decompress, to laugh, and then I go to sleep.
I love that. Great question, Kurt from Grand Ledge. All right, let's go to Dave in East Lansing. What are your thoughts on ESPN's Travis Haney saying that Michigan State is one of the top five teams trending down? Yes, trending down in college football.
It's kind of like that Staples commercial. Travis went ahead and hit that easy button and just came up with that thing for clicks because he knew it's going to enrage Spartan fans.
Which
and
it did.
Wolverine fans were like, yeah, Harbaugh's back. And if you read it, it was just a piece of garbage. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. Well, why is Michigan State going to be down? Well, Michigan's back. Okay, well, why is Michigan back? Because Harbaugh's here. What's Harbaugh going to do? Well, he's here. Well, what is he going to do? Well, he wears khaki pants. Okay, what else? Has he won a game? Well, no, he hasn't, but he's here. And because he's here, you're going to lose. So, in other words, you don't have any facts. You're just out there spouting off your beliefs.
And, just wanted to spark up some controversy.
And a lot of times people take their beliefs for facts, and I have to correct them all the time. Like, that's what you believe. Believing and facts are two different things. You have faith, but faith ain't facts.
Right.
So that's not a fact. That's his faith. That's what he believes. Same people who said Rich Rodriguez was going to drop 60 on everybody.
Yeah.
Same people who said Brady Hoke was going to get the band back together and lead them to prominence. Still waiting.
Last question here, Rico, before we run out of time. Sally from Folliver wants to know, what advice would you give an aspiring sports broadcaster in brief?
You know what? Kind of hit up every different sport. Don't just pick one. Learn something about all the different sports. Try to separate yourself from being a fan. That was the hardest thing that I had to do.
Right.
Because you're a fan of a sport, you see things differently. You don't see them clearly. So separate yourself and become a journalist. And then you'll be able to criticize and make valuable pieces, because it's not just you being a homer. You're being correct, factually correct.
Great take, Rico. Again, that was Rico Beard of Detroit Sports 105.1, co-host of the Ryan and Rico Show. You can hear his show each and every weekday morning, along with Ryan Armani of Fox 2 News. They do a great job, folks. He also, Rico also, contributes to SpartanMag.com. And yeah, he's a professor as well, folks. So shout out to Rico. So that was our sneak peek. Again, you can catch that episode in its entirety tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR TV. You don't want to miss that, folks. All right, well, let's hit our second break of the show. When we come back, we'll have Throwback Thursday for you. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR TV.
AM 870. Welcome back to Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin, on this Throwback Thursday. Alex, man, you are having some fun behind the glass. You're like, you know, DJ A-Sharg on the ones and twos there, man. You're throwing it back for us right there, man. It's Throwback Thursday. How you doing, Alex? You good, man?
Yeah, doing good, doing good. I didn't get too much of a chance to weigh in on the Scherzer thing, a little bit on the Pistons.
Well, what are your thoughts really quick,
but,
man?
Yeah, real quick. I think with Scherzer, he went out the right way. I mean, he wrote a letter to the fans. He also was a beloved teammate. If you really know the Max Scherzer story, he went through a really tough time here in Detroit. He had his brother pass away. I'm sure you heard about that, Al. That was a huge thing years ago.
Right.
So I think for Max, the situation just wasn't as right. A lot of negativity happened when he was here. Not necessarily from the team, but in general, it just wasn't working quite right, aside from his performance on the field. So overall, he went out the right way. I don't think fans can get mad at him, and I agree with you, Al. I think the writers, they were just kind of looking to see if there was something there. Nothing really was. And Verlander said it perfectly. I mean, Max is willing to make his own business. It's none of Verlander's ordeal. Max made his own decision, so I like that. And when it comes to the Pistons, real quick, with Joe Johnson and now what we're hearing rumored is Jarrett Jack might be the latest possibility. I know, Al, you're pretty high on Jarrett Jack, but
go ahead.
I think that for the Pistons, I get that it's an insurance thing for Jennings, but if you're trying to be successful and win for the playoffs, I think you need a star playmaker that's a scorer. And is Jarrett Jack a great prolific scorer? I don't think so. He can score, but I don't think he's prolific like a Joe Johnson.
Yeah.
So I think for the Pistons, they need a prolific scorer. And I think that getting security, it's a good backup, but it's not a good run for the playoffs.
Well, Alex, I just think that they already have prolific scorers on that team. I think when you look at the production of Andre Drummond, Greg Monroe, the emergence out of nowhere, really, DJ Augustine, I just don't think that when you weigh, because I think that both moves, when you really look at them, could bode well for the Pistons. I just think when you look at Joe Johnson, he's 33 years old. He's definitely a versatile scorer, but you also have to buy out that contract that's going to be looming over his head once he comes to Detroit. With Jarrett, you don't really lose anything. You don't have to trade anybody. So you get to keep Jennings, whose ceiling could possibly still be high when he comes back from that injury. Only time will tell. And also, right now, they need a facilitator. Now, I think Jarrett Jack, that's one of the biggest components of his game. He knows how to score when need be, but also get others involved. So it's a low-risk, high-reward move when you try to weigh Joe Johnson and Jarrett Jack, that move right there. We also have our fantastic intern, Chris Haller. He's keeping us updated on any moves that happen in the NBA. And also, folks, really quickly here, I want to shout out Connor George, who, again, our other intern, Dominique Shadrice Oden. She did a great job. She's probably mad I just shouted out her middle name. Yeah, that's right. She did a great profile on Connor George, Okemos High School boys basketball star. Connor actually right now, the statistics for Michigan basketball leaders came out in the Lansing State Journal today, and Connor is actually second in the area when it comes to points per game, averaging 24.8 points, and also he is third in the area when it comes to rebounds per game, rebounding a little bit over 11 rebounds per game. So he's averaging a double-double, folks. If you miss that feature done by Dominique, you can catch it online at WKAR.org and listen to yesterday's show. It was fantastic. All right, quick Throwback Thursday for you, folks. Let's take a look at what happened on this Thursday in sports history. Here we go.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long. Eisenman
back over his step. Into the slot for Brown. Shoots, yes.
All right, well, it is time for Throwback Thursday, where we take a look at what happened on this Thursday in sports history. Well, let's start in 1935. Lou Gehrig signed a contract with the New York Yankees for $30,000, folks. That was big money. That was big money back in the 30s, okay? $30,000 contract for Lou Gehrig, one of the greats to ever play. In 1942, the New York Yankees announced they would admit 5,000 servicemen free to each of their home ball games during the coming season. So there you have that. The Yankees kind of paying tribute to those who have served their country. That happened in 1942, just honoring those who had served their country during that time. Of course, there were a lot of things going politically during the 40s, so that was a really nice gesture by the Yankees. In 1965, the NFL began using six officials during games. How about that? Previously, it was four. They decided to add a line judge and another one as well. So the NFL bumping up its eyes on the game back in the 60s, which it still stands today. Also, 1996, Charles Barkley of the Phoenix Suns got his 10,000th career rebound. He became the only the 10th NBA player to reach 20,000 points and 10,000 rebounds in his career. Impressive stuff. And then, of course, you guys know this moment, kind of a local tie here. In 2004, the Atlanta Hawks traded forward Rasheed Wallace to the Detroit Pistons as a part of a three-team deal that also included the Boston Celtics. You guys all know that Rasheed Wallace was such a controversial figure. Alex, I believe we have a bite of Rasheed, the famous guaranteed moment.
There. Game is tied at 120. There is Iverson coming up short. Wade, and the East leads by two with 16 and 6/10 seconds.
Nope, that wasn't the right bite, folks. That was actually Dwayne Wade in 2006 with 16.6 seconds remaining. He rallied the Eastern Conference past the Western Conference, 122-120 at the 55th annual All-Star Game. Big moment for D-Wade there, but let's go back to Rasheed. Do we have that? No, we don't have Rasheed. I think we do. I think we don't. Well, let's come back to Rasheed, folks. All right, 2007, the San Diego Chargers named Norv Turner head coach. Norv Turner, one of the greatest coaches in NFL history. Let's fast forward now to 2012. The Pittsburgh Penguins re-signed for James Neal to a six-year contract extension worth $30 million, which is pretty big money, folks. Pretty big money in the world of sports. Also, in 2014, the Montreal Alouettes named Dan Hawkins head football coach. So that's kind of I believe that's the AFL. I'm going to have to double check on what league that is there. And also we have a few players celebrating their birthdays today. Eddie Arceo, he was born in 1916. He's the only jockey to win three triple crowns. Well, actually, two triple crowns. True triple crowns when he was a rider in horse racing. Also, Dave Stewart, he was born in 1957. He was an MLB pitcher. And Hannah Miladova, she was born in 1962, and she's also a tennis player. So happy birthday to all three of them. Man, that's a mouthful for this Throwback Thursday, folks. Again, if you want to comment on anything that we brought up on today's Current Sports, you can do so by going to our Current Sports Twitter page of at WKR_sports, or even tweet me directly at Al Martin WKR, or leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, and I'll read them on Friday. Man, I can't believe Friday is right around the corner. Man, time flies when you're having fun, folks. Well, that wraps up today's show. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic day. Current Sports TV tonight at 10 p.m. You don't want to miss it. Take care and be easy, people.